from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Jesus, with the power of the Spirit in him, returned to Galilee. His reputation spread throughout the countryside. He taught in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day as he usually did. He stood up to read, and they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord has been given to me, for he's anointed me. He sent me to bring the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, and to the blind new sight, to set the downtrodden free, to proclaim the Lord's year of favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the assistant, and sat down. And all eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to speak to them. "This text is being fulfilled today, even as you listen." And he won the approval of all. They were astonished by the gracious words that came from his lips. They said, "This is Joseph's son, surely." And this is the gospel of the Lord. For the ancient Greeks, memory was something which was primarily something in the mind. The Greek words for memory are connected with Greek words for mind. That's reasonable enough. We remember things in our mind. For the ancient Romans, well, this was true. Memory was rather more something which was written down. To them, it was important to preserve the society by having things written down. And the Latin phrase in memoria, memoria obviously gives us the English word memory, really meant something that happened after writing was invented. It's often translated, whatever happened in history. History is what has been written down. That's also true in practice for societies. Societies remember whatever is written down, whatever is recorded. Of course, in our day, we have archaeologists who are very adept at discovering ancient memories, which were never intended to be remembered. They study the past, which by its nature should have been forgotten. For the Jews, for the Israelites, memory was all of that, but something else. Memory, in fact, is a rather strange concept for them because it's bound up with their idea of God. I'll read a short passage from the prophet Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. "Remember, I beg you, the promise which you solemnly made to your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I shall scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are under the farthest skies, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place at which I have chosen to establish my name." That's a strange quotation because it's telling God to remember things as if God could forget. It's also doing what the Israelites never seemed afraid to do, putting words into God's mouth. What it's really doing is using memory in Israelite fashion. It's not something merely in the mind or something written down. It's something that God does. God is the true rememberer. And God's memory is never a memory of the past, but something he does in the present. "O Lord, you once favored your land. Do them again in our days. In our days make them known." From the psalmist. Memory is God's action for the Jews. And so when Christ comes into the synagogue, he's really doing what any Jew would do. He's asking God to make present, to make real, in this world, here and now, the things he has done in the past, and the promise he has made, to make the promise real. So Christ goes into the synagogue, undoes the scroll, finds a place where it is written. Then he says, "This text is being fulfilled today, even as you listen." Which for a Jew is to say, God has remembered his own words, his own promise, his own purpose. He's making it known now. Memory, therefore, is not simply in the mind or in writing. It's not even something that primarily people do. It's God who remembers. All we do is, in our prayers, ask God to make that memory our memory, to make it real. And this making the past real, making what has happened present to us now, is what we do in the church's liturgy. We're still in Christmastide. Christmastide ends with the baptism of the Lord. And Christmas time is the time of Christmas. I might say the obvious, but in fact we make it real. It's as if Christ really has been born this week. Christ, somewhere in the world, is a baby born in a manger. Somewhere in the world, the Magi are looking for Christ. Somewhere in the world, the shepherds are finding the Christ, finding the Messiah. We do this all through our liturgy, all through the year. We make the past present, right through to Easter. On Easter, Christ really does rise from the dead again in our lives. In Lent, we make our way to that resurrection. No, it's true that Christ has died, Christ has risen. It's still true that through liturgy, we're brought back in time to the moment when all these things happen. Or more exactly, all these things happen in our life, in the present. It's what we do at the Mass for the dead, the funeral. We ask God to remember his promise, to make known, to make real the things that he promised to the person who died. In baptism, he died for Christ. We now share the resurrection. We make the past present. So memory is a very powerful thing. And of course, the great memory, the most powerful memory of all, the one we share of in our lives many times, is the memory of the Eucharist, the Last Supper. Do this in memory of me. And here Christ has gone further than the Israelites. The Israelites say to God, make memory known, make it real. Do this in memory of us. Christ says, do this in memory of me. So at the same time, we can remember Christ and make his life present and make the sacred, solemn, wonderful moment of the Last Supper present. We do it. We do it in the power of the Spirit. We share with God in making what God has said and done and promised and always intended real. This, I think, connects nicely with the first reading, the very first words of the Gospel, the letter of John, the first letter. We are to love then, because he loved us first. Because of what is done, we can do things now. We can love. Love is eternal and of the past. In the power of the Spirit, it is here and now, in our present.